The swimming pool in the artwork bought by the Podestas actually exists. It is the subterranean swimming pool at Biltmore Mansion in Asheville, North Carolina. This was the home of multimillionaire Gloria Vanderbilt, who recently passed away at the age of 95. Here we have Gloria and her two sons, Anderson and Carter Cooper. Carter committed suicide when he was 23. Anderson is a well-known news reporter for CNN. Why does Gloria's swimming pool appear on paintings of tortured children? Is it a coincidence that the little boy so strongly reminds me of Anderson Cooper, Gloria's son? Could there be a connection between her swimming pool and the entertainment with young children for the elite, as mentioned in the infamous Podesta emails? Anderson Cooper, son of Gloria Vanderbilt, world-renowned and award-winning reporter for CNN. He was caught overdoing it from time to time, making things look much worse than they actually were. But hey, maybe he's just a bit of a drama queen. At least it led to some funny responses on social media. The question remains, is it okay for a media outlet to deliberately broadcast such exaggerations? Is that honest broadcasting? Is it okay to influence the public with headlines such as these? Is it okay for the Dutch news network NOS to show a twisted version of an interview by BBC's John Sweeney asking Putin about the killings in the Ukraine, where the NOS edited the original interview so that Putin seems to walk away, ignoring Sweeney? Yet the original interview, which can also be found on the internet, shows Putin taking his time answering the question. Is it okay for several American news outlets to accuse Trump of raping a 13-year-old girl together with Jeffrey Epstein, a convicted pedophile? Is it okay that there's a deafening silence from the mainstream media now that the flight records show that it wasn't Trump, but Bill Clinton who joined Epstein at his parties with underage girls on Orgy Island? Is it okay that Trump's words about MS-13 gang members being animals were totally twisted, obviously on purpose, so that he seems to refer to immigrants being animals? Do you remember the little boy from Syria, sleeping between the graves of his parents? That too was staged and broadcast on purpose as to manipulate the people into yet another war. The boy was paid to lie there. I don't know about you guys, but this is not okay. It's not okay to fake white helmet saving a wounded man right after a bombing, only to have a selfie taken. That's deceit. It's not okay to lie to the public about Syria and the alleged chemical attacks so that yet another war can be justified. For months we were lied to by the mainstream media. Remember this poor little girl? You probably will, for she was used three times for three different rescue missions in three different months in 2016. I find that shocking. It is not okay to fake attacks on women and children to trigger an emotional response that justifies the invasion of yet another foreign country. I find it horrifying to see the well-designed deceit of Western people who watch and trust the news. Do you remember this one? I could go on for hours with examples of fake news, but I think this is enough. For now at least. I'll give you two more to digest. In 2015, during a presidential rally, Trump imitated reporter Serge Govalesky, whom he had caught lying. It concerned an article from 2001, in which Govalesky wrote about people cheering the fall of the Twin Towers. When Trump quoted the article in 2015, Govalesky backed out, saying he didn't remember writing the article. Well, the article could easily be found on the internet, and Trump called out Govalesky for his lie. But the mainstream media seized the opportunity and used these headlines: Trump mocks the disabled. Govalesky suffers from arthrogryposis, but that does not cause the weird movements Trump made. On other occasions, and in exactly the same way, Trump had imitated Senator Jim Mattis, presidential candidate Marco Rubio, a general, and a bank manager, who all got away with lies. However, as Mattis, Rubio, the general, and the bank manager were not handicapped, they were of no use to the mainstream media. Kovalevsky's handicap, however, went around the world, convincing everybody that Trump looked down on the disabled. And I must confess, I too fell for it. Then, last but not least, for 2 years, the mainstream media kept pushing the liberal agenda on Trump and the alleged Russian collusion, whereas on March 23, 2019, the Mueller investigation officially ended and nothing was found. After 2 years of doing everything they could to take Trump down, they found absolutely nothing. Trump was cleared, yet the mainstream media kept repeating, "Something has to be wrong with this president." Trump's official innocence is completely hushed up, just like they didn't say a word about the countless pedophiles that were arrested under Trump. Total radio silence. From the beginning, Trump has been warning us about the mainstream media as the number one enemy of the people. And the more I study the subject, the more I understand that Trump is actually correct. The mainstream media uses its power to steer the public into a desired direction. The spreading of disinformation is nothing new. Back in the early 1950s, the CIA set up Operation Mockingbird, a large-scale program in the US with the sole purpose of manipulating news media for propaganda purposes. Leading American journalists were recruited into a propaganda network. In other words, the Secret Service determined what was going to be on TV and in the news. Has anything changed? No, apparently not. German whistleblower Udo Ulfgotter, high-profile journalist for the Frankfurter Allgemeine, stated in front of the camera that he felt deeply ashamed to have consistently lied to the public for over 25 years. Ulfgotter died of a heart attack shortly after, in January 2017. The illusion of choice. We think, there are so many channels, how could they all be in on it? Well, that's easy. This shows you who owns whom. Do you see it? There are only four companies. CBS seems to be independent, but is owned by the same billionaire as Viacom. When you give people the illusion of choice, they believe they are free. And if you want to find out why the mainstream media push the liberal agenda down our throats, all you have to do is follow the money. Who paid major contributions to Hillary Clinton to support her work and the liberal agenda? That's right. CNN, NBC, News Corporation, Turner Broadcasting, Thomson Reuters, Newsmax Media, Time Warner, Viacom, Comcast, HBO, AOL, Hollywood Foreign Press Association, Public Radio International, Public Broadcasting Service, Huffington Post Media Group, Carlos Slim, the largest shareholder of the New York Times, James Murdoch of 21st Century Fox, Judy Woodruff, co-anchor and managing editor of PBS NewsHour, Howard Stringer, former president of CBS, George Stephanopoulos, ABC News chief anchor and chief political correspondent, Mort Zuckerman, owner of New York Daily News and US News & World Report, and The Washington Post, owned by Jeff Bezos of Amazon, well known for its censorship of quite a few books on controversial topics. Censorship is one of the greatest dangers to a democracy and to freedom of speech. Three more major sponsors of Hillary Clinton are Google, Twitter, and Facebook. Google and its YouTube are highly active in the field of censorship, just like Twitter and Facebook. It will come as no surprise that pro-Trump posts are among the most censored ones, as are posts of critical thinkers and researchers and anyone who dares question the official narrative of events such as the ones I presented in part one. Pro-Hillary posts are never censored. Doesn't that make you wonder? Remember Correct the Record and Media Matters for America? Those are the kind of censorship companies at work behind the scenes of Facebook, Twitter, Google, and YouTube to delete anything that opposes the liberal agenda. And guess what? Correct the Record is now promoted by AFAS, the global activist network that I once thought so highly of. AFAS was co-founded by Res Publica and MoveOn. Res Publica received $250,000 from George Soros. MoveOn got $1.6 million from Soros. AFAS's founding president and executive director, Rikin Patel, has consulted for the Rockefeller Foundation, the UN, the Gates Foundation, and the International Crisis Group, with Soros as chairman and Frank Giustra as CEO. Remember our friend with the pedophile logo from part 4? AFAS's co-founder is Tom Perriello, former Virginia congressman, best buddies with Obama, and executive director of the Open Society Foundations of George Soros, one of the main parties behind the notorious and destabilizing migrant caravan invasion. It will come as no great surprise that AFAS strongly opposes President Trump. This is what we call controlled opposition. Like I said, censorship is dangerous. The so-called fact-checkers are dangerous. Snopes is one of them, set up by a couple from San Fernando Valley, David and Barbara Mickelson. The couple fell out. Barbara accused David of spending $98,000 on prostitutes, which is probably true as he divorced Barbara and married call girl and porn star Elisa Young, aka Erin Abrin, who is now Snopes' administrator. Snopes' only fact-checker is Kim LaCapria, also known as sex and fetish blogger Vice Vixen. That, my friends, is fact-checker Snopes. There are no researchers, no investigators, no lawyers, no documents to support their findings, and they are strongly politically biased. Yet they are generally accepted as fact-checker. I find that most shocking. Do you get the picture? Operation Mockingbird never ended. John Podesta, one of the key suspects in the Pizzagate scandal, got his own column in the Washington Post, writing about politics and policies. How the hell is he supposed to give an objective view of Trump, his worst enemy? John Brennan, head of the CIA till 2017, now serves as senior analyst for NBC News and MSNBC. Anderson Cooper worked for the CIA before he became a news anchor. According to himself, it was only an internship when he was 19, but I wonder how many young men are approached by the CIA for an internship. Anderson did not even have the proper education to be offered a job, yet in no time he became the face of CNN. The Secret Services still decide what the people are supposed to think and believe. If they want to invade yet another country, they will use the mainstream media to make you believe that that particular country needs to be freed of a terrible dictator who kills his own people. The real reason for the invasion will quite likely never be known to the public. It'll probably have to do with oil or the installment of yet another Rothschild bank. But hey, who cares? It was in the news that they freed those poor people from their dictator and that democracy was bestowed upon them. And if it's in the news, it's true. End of story. Well, no, it's not. If the media coverage is controlled by secret services, it seems only logical to me to focus on the things they refuse to cover or ridicule. Number one topic that comes to mind? Pizzagate. Debunked by the mainstream media like nothing else. Let's continue with a bit of additional research in part 7.